Amen.
Amen. It's already written in the prophet Isaiah that all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And thanks be to God, we may see it. Also today, we welcome all of you. We are of course coming to hear God's word, and this from near and far, from east and west, from south and north. And this really reminded me on Acts chapter 2, when at the founding of the church, at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, 17 different nations were gathered. One can read it. They are, of course, all listed according to their nationalities. Here it's written in Acts chapter 2 from verse 8. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, and it continues and continues. This was at the beginning. And God, we repeated it many times, God gave the promise to Abraham, in thee shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And so the Lord God, at the end of the time of grace, he calls out a church, a bright church, from all peoples, tongues, and nations. I don't know, and I say this with a thankful heart, I don't know whether there is a second place in our country, in Europe, where brothers and sisters are gathered from the far north, from Finland, Sweden, from Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, Italy, Austria, Switzerland, Belgium, Holland, and from Africa, from Asia. God has connected a purpose to it, and I really hope that we all understand that it's not a man, but that God does his work, and that he completes his church. We again have greetings from Brother Manfred from Santiago. We have greetings from Brother R.W. from Lyon. We have greetings from Brother Pino Davi from Palermo. We have greetings from Kinshasa. It's just greetings from everywhere. Brothers who were phoning in, with greetings from Moldavia. Brother Schmidt already gave them to us. And we are happy that God is gracious. We are happy that we recognize the time and the message. Also those who are from South America in our midst, I would like to welcome them. Just so nice. They are coming from the south and north. They are really coming from everywhere. Then we have sung a song that the Lord would like to kindle the fire. But before we go into it, and before we continue our preaching, I would like to ask our brother Hilton from Cape Town, I would like just to come now and to pray with us. Yes, we want to be just, and all the brothers who are coming to us, we don't want to overlook them, just the opposite. We want them to know that we are connected with them and that they are connected with us, and that God may bless them. Yesterday, we had our beloved brother from Ghana and the brother from Montreal. And today, we just ask Brother Hilton to give us greetings and to pray with us.
Yes. I wish to greet every brother and sister.
Ich möchte jeden Bruder und jede Schwester grüßen.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
In dem Namen unseres Herrn Jesus Christus.
I'm really blessed whenever I come to Krefeld.
Ich bin immer gesegnet, wann immer ich nach Krefeld komme.
God bless you.
Gott segne euch.
Let us pray.
Lasst uns aufstehen zum Gebet.
Gracious God, eternal heavenly Father, Lord.
Großer Gott, himmlischer Vater, o Herr.
We are thankful this morning, Lord.
Wir sind dankbar heute Morgen, o Herr.
That we can be gathered in such a way, Lord.
Dass wir in solch einer Weise versammelt sein können.
We are gathered around the holy word of God.
Wir sind dein heiliges Wort Gottes versammelt.
To be taught from it.
Dadurch belehrt zu werden.
It may be preached unto every person, Lord.
Möge es jede Person ansprechen durch die Predigt.
Lord, and the Holy Ghost, Lord, will accompany your word.
Und möge der Heilige Geist dein Wort begleiten.
To give understanding and revelation on your word, O God.
Dass Verständnis und Offenbarung deines Wortes schenkt.
My prayer this morning, Lord, is that you will bless your word, O God.
Mein Gebet heute Morgen ist, Herr, dass du dein Wort segnest.
Your servant that will speak your word, Lord.
Und deinen Knecht, der dein Wort bringen wird.
It will be a blessing unto everyone that is present here this morning.
Es sei ein Segen für jeden Einzelnen, der heute Morgen hier ist.
Oh Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord.
Oh Herr, wir danken dir für diese Gelegenheit.
Thank you for the work that you have started here, Lord.
Wir danken dir für das Werk, das du hier begonnen hast.
All those that are working with our brother, Lord.
Und wir danken dir für alle, die mitarbeiten mit unserem Bruder.
We thank you, Lord.
Wir danken dir, Herr.
For every person that is involved, Lord.
Für jede Person, die darin Anteil hat.
That you will bless them, Lord.
Dass du sie segnest.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesu Namen bete ich.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Singen wir, du bist wirklich. Thank you, beloved brother. Du bist würdig. Du bist würdig. Würdig, o Herr, hinzunehmen, Preis und Ehre, Ruhm und Anbetung. Du bist würdig, o Herr, Glorie, Glorie, Halleluja, Glorie. Halleluja, Glory, Glory, Halleluja, deine Wahrheit schreitet voran. Amen. Amen. Ihr mögt euch sehen.
You may be seated.
Ich habe bereits gestern Abend.
Already last night I reported that the Lord has given much grace for the last missionary trip through Latin America. We traveled in Mexico also a couple of hundreds of kilometers by car to visit assemblies and to bring the word of the Lord. Also in Guatemala, we traveled distances through valleys and hills to bring the precious and holy word of God. Also in El Salvador, and we're just looking back even up to the climax in Lima. There we have programs. The man who is in charge of the program is connected to the Billy Graham team, but since quite some time he reads our books. And I had an interview on that Monday morning, and he was holding my book in his hand, The Great Tragedy, in the Spanish language. And he said, Brother Frank, we invited you to speak to our people, to our nation. What has God put upon your heart? And at the end of this interview, this man, before all, he said, "Brother Frank, I thank God for thy life." And he added, "I thank God for thy ministry." God willing, we also will start programs there in the English language for that country and for the neighboring countries. You all know we are all doing to redeem the time and to preach the divine message which goes as the last call around the earth. To this, of course, belongs that we make use of all the opportunities which there are, all the opportunities. We have TV programs in Auckland, New Zealand. We have TV programs in Sydney, Australia. We have TV programs in Ohio, USA. We have TV programs in Lethbridge, Canada. All of Canada, the 12,000 kilometers from one coast to the other coast, can be reached now. We have programs, where is it, in Uzbekistan or Kazakhstan. We are really doing everything what is possible to bring the divine message to the people of God on all the earth. And I thank God, and I thank you with a sincere heart, that He has given us the opportunities and the means, both the opportunities and the means He gave us, so that we may carry the precious message. And we are looking back to many years in which the Lord God has blessed, and the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And brothers and sisters, yesterday you also heard how I was overwhelmed while hearing the first sermons of Brother Branham. It was a direct working of the Almighty God here on this earth. A direct calling, a direct sending as the fulfillment of Scripture. I also showed it to you, and some marveled in this little device. I have all the 1,159 sermons. And as I heard, some didn't believe that I can handle technical things. They were asking themselves, "Can Brother Frank handle such a device?" Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Everything functions nicely. So, with this I connect the thought that we are not only looking back to what God did, but that we are found in great expectation in reference to that, what God promised to us, and what is already in its fulfillment. I was pointing to it, that I was so overwhelmed of that, what I heard of the years 1948, also 47 and 49, God's power in salvation, healing, and deliverance was manifested thousands of times. And so the attention of the people was drawn to that, what God has to say to us. I was referring to John 21, where it says in the last verses, John 21, from verse 24, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, everyone, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. It's nice. Our Lord is the same. He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us expect everything from God. We have heard it in the word of introduction. We are the branches on the vine. The branch has only the task to manifest the life of the vine in the fruits. The fruit of the vine is, of course, in the branches. There it is manifested. And our Lord says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Then it's not you, it's not me. Then it's the life in the vine, which is manifested in the branches. So, let us just hand ourselves over to God. He will bring it to pass by His grace. Then, also by a telephone call, a word, a verse was given to me from Joshua chapter 1. Here, verse 9 was given to me. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. May God bless this precious sister who gave me this verse to my heart. In Deuteronomy 34, in verse 10, it is written, Deuteronomy 34, verse 10, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. That what the Lord God was speaking, what was given to the people of Israel as the law and as the instructions, it was lying in the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was laid upon the shoulders of the priests. And God, who gave the promise that his people are led into the country which flows with milk and honey, he himself was taking care of that after the one ministry, namely the leading out, was completed, that the next ministry started to go in with God. Everything is in a order, and he will make all things well. He knows the end before the beginning. He never has to make a decision in between. All of the plan of salvation of our God is already foretold. It's settled. It's certain. Everything happens as He said it in His Word. Just so wonderful that God is on the throne. We don't want to go into the end time now. This day is precious to us. But let us look to Israel. Let us look into the Middle East. Let us just look around us. And time and again we can say, as our Lord said in Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and in Luke 21, He said, when you see these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Time and again, I've said it, and it remains thereby. We not only arrived in the end time, we arrived at the end of the end time. The return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, has drawn very, very near. And with the last song and the word of introduction, to read now a scripture fitting to it, let us read it from Revelation, chapter 22. Here we have two very special statements. Revelation 22 from verse 10. Revelation 22 from verse 10. And He says unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Then that comes to the description, what will be at the end. The ones will be more holy, and the other ones will continue on their own ways. In verse 12 it says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Then, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now comes again the emphasis upon the believers, upon us. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. The tree of life which stood in the Garden of Eden, here, the access that they get the right to the tree of life. Now, of the thirst which shall be satisfied, verse 17, Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Here it doesn't say the word church. Here the word bride is written. The word bride. Always when we read the epistles of the Apostle Paul, church, church, Christ, the head of the church. The church, the body of the Lord. Here, right at the end, the Spirit speaks. And only those who belong to the bride church, they receive what the Spirit of God says unto the church. And they believe it. And to them is then the promise. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Also today. We all know the story of the woman at the well. The Lord spoke to her, give me a drink. And you all know the story. The answer of our Lord was, the water which I shall give you will become a fountain in you, which springs up into eternal life. A fountain is a spring, not a pond or a puddle in which is a bit water when it if it rains. No, it bubbles, it springs up. And so, may God give grace today that we come to the fountain of life, that such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit can take place, that it breaks forth in us, breaking forth in us, just as it was on the day of Pentecost, that the filling with the Holy Spirit was so mighty that the fountain broke forth and the Spirit could speak in such a way as he wished. And to everyone was inspired what should be said. So, we are in the last church age at Laodicea. We have come into the period where the bride is called out and is being prepared. Let me to this read from John chapter 3 to show you the parallel of the ministry of John the Baptist. Here, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 3, we read from verse 28, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." Here we have again the word sent, a man sent from God, with the message of God to the people of God, to turn the hearts of the fathers of the Old Testament to the children of the New Testament, confirmed in Luke 1, verse 16 and 17. It continues, "I am only sent as his forerunner." Yes, the word only we have understood in the right way. On the other hand, the greatest ministry, Old and New Testament, were connected to one another. Luke 16:16, all the prophets were until John, and since then the kingdom of God is being preached. So it was the transition from the Old to the New Testament, the transition from all the promises to their fulfillment. Now, listen closely. Paul, in all his epistles, he never used the word bride, not a single time. At that time, it was not the time. Listen now, the next verse. It's verse 29. "He that has the bride is the bridegroom." Here, it doesn't speak yet of the church. He speaks of the bride. He's the forerunner, the friend of the bridegroom. He has the task to prepare the way for the bridegroom, to carry out his ministry so that bride and bridegroom are coming together. I read verse 29. "He that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This, my joy, therefore, is now fulfilled." He must increase, but I must decrease. What a depth is in such words. Way preparer, forerunner, bride and bridegroom are brought together. And then comes the tremendous in verse 33. He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. A testimony must be received that we ourselves are confirming that God is true, who gave a promise and who then fulfilled it. This is the seal. That's how we read it here. I read once again. He that has received his testimony has set to his seal, has confirmed that God is true, that he fulfilled his promise, that he sent the forerunner, the ministry was carried out, the friend of the bridegroom has heard the bridegroom's voice, and the bride has heard the message. It continues, verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. He does not interpret. He has to bring the original word. Then, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and has given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And now it comes. And he that remaineth disobedient to the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, the belief, the faith belongs to the obedience, and the obedience belongs to the faith. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life given from God, but he that remaineth disobedient, he remains separated from God. The disobedience goes back to the Garden of Eden. Unbelief, disobedience, transgression. And the fall was here. Mankind was separated from God. So, let us take to heart what God says here. Now, to that, to the song which we have sung, to this, I would like to read something, namely from the Holy Scripture. Remember, on the text, the melody of the song was known to me. The text I didn't know. Kindle your fire, Lord, in my heart. Let us read from Luke, chapter 12. Luke, chapter 12, from verse 49. Luke 12, from verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. Kindling a fire. John, of course, preached in John 3, I baptize you with water unto repentance. He that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And on the day of Pentecost, to the 120 appeared cloven tongues as like of fire, and the Holy Spirit set upon each of them. With this experience comes a separation which can go through all of the family. Some are receiving and the others are rejecting. Some are believing and are obedient and are submitting to God and His word, and the others are rejecting and are walking on their own ways. Please listen the following verses from verse 50. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I distressed till it be accomplished? Verse 51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, no, but rather division. Here we could say, dear Lord, at your birth, at Bethlehem was cried out, peace on earth and goodwill to man. The best translation is peace on earth, in the people of His well-pleasing. Not in general, but he who found peace with God by the faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord, he experiences this peace and he becomes a child of peace. All the others are rebelling against the Lord and are also rebelling against us. Suddenly, we are no more understood. Up to here, everything went well, but in the moment where we consciously are placing ourselves onto the side of the Lord and are believing His word and His promises, accepting them, then a separation can take place. The next verse, verse 52, for from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and again and again. Yes. That's how it can happen. It can also be that it is fulfilled, thou and thy house shall be saved. It all depends whether the whole house receives the grace and the salvation of God, or whether some are receiving and the others are rejecting. It already goes back to the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, those who gladly received His word were baptized. Those who didn't receive it, they were not baptized. But those who received it, they were baptized. Obedience was connected to the faith. The preaching leads to a decision. No one can remain neutral when he hears the preaching of the word of God. Then comes a decision, and may God give grace that it really might be the right decision before God. We have sung, kindle a fire, kindle thy fire in my heart. Yes, and the Lord says, I am come to kindle a fire on earth. And the result of the kindled fire is that a line goes through between those who believe and between those who do not believe. Some, the ones are not understanding the other ones anymore. This most of us experienced. And we thank God for that He gives grace, that we may believe, as the scripture says, and everything else we leave up to the Lord. Now, there are some more important thoughts which we have to give on the way. We have in the Holy Scripture about all the gifts of the Spirit, about all the ministries, about everything we have, information about the Godhead, about baptism, and so forth. Alone, if we wanted to speak about the subject of the Godhead, what we will not do today. But just listen. Let us just listen to two verses from the Holy Scripture concerning the Godhead. Romans chapter 3, verse 30. Romans chapter 3, verse 30. Seeing it is one God. So, out of the one and only God, one may not make a triune God. This one is just not permitted. There's no man on earth who would have the right to change even one single word of God. We believe in the one true Almighty God, who revealed himself for our salvation as Father in heaven, in his only begotten Son, our Lord, on earth, and in us by the Holy Spirit, to accomplish his own plan of salvation. And to not only give his work of redemption, but also to complete it unto the day of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the epistle to the Galatians, where Paul is very harsh with all those who deviated from the word, who are preaching another gospel, who are preaching another Christ. And then he comes in Galatians 3, in verse 20, he comes to the statement, Galatians chapter 3, verse 20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. This is not our subject today. Alone to know that God's word says it, and not a brother in the USA or in Germany, but the Almighty God has left unto us his word as a binding guideline for life, faith, and doctrine. And we, as the children of God, we have to remain within the limits of the Word, and we must abide in it. Now I read you what the Lord God has found fault with already in that time when the apostles were on the earth, and how the condition was described of the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. This I read in view of that we at this place also, of course, cannot tolerate that what is unbiblical. We must mention the things by name. It's not only about that we preach the word, but that what is not biblical, this must be manifested. God objected it, that in two churches at that time it was not done. And this objection we don't want to be accused with. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, in the message to the church at Pergamos, I read verse 17, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. But before verse 17, verse 14 is written, But I have a few things against thee. Now, not the church is spoken to. Now the angel, the messenger to whom the word was addressed, he is spoken to. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication and so forth. And then also the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I have against thee, you who you are carrying my message, you who receive my word, and you who must bring it to the church, you tolerated, and this I have against thee. You have people under you, you tolerated them, who hold the doctrine of Balaam, and who hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I have against thee, brothers and sisters. This is not only written to show this messenger of God what he neglected. This is written for me. This is written for us. That we do not neglect anything, that we don't receive any accusation. As a man, I have some things which I regret to not have done rightly. But when it is about the preaching of the word, then it must be correct. Then it must be crystal clear. And then that what is being said must be God's holy word, and must agree with all what is written in the Holy Scripture. Just imagine a messenger of God. In verse 12 it says, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he, thus saith the Lord, thus saith he, which has the sharp sword with two edges. I know where thou dwellest. The Lord, of course, knows everything. Then comes the rebuke. But I have a few things against thee. Brothers and sisters, this word really touched me. I don't want that the Lord has something against me, that I neglected something, that I regarded someone or had respect for some situation, but that God's word is freely preached, namely, to serve, to help, not to rebuke, but to stretch forth the hand and to help. The same rebuke applies to the next angel of the church at Thyatira, as written in verse 18. And then we read in verse 20, Revelation 2, verse 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. The man of God neglected to make an end to this matter. I also neglected it. I neglected to make an end to the thing. And the greatest rebuke which God gave me in all of my life was on the 16th of June 1979, because I tolerated things, because I had regard on things. But I hope that it can still be made well. It's still a time of grace, we all know. But I read this verse again. Revelation 2, verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce. We all know that God has placed in the church only apostles, not she apostles, only prophets, no prophetesses. Only pastors, no she pastors. Only evangelists, no she evangelists. This we all know. And nevertheless, the Lord God, may He forgive me. May the Lord God be merciful. May He help us to come out of this, I almost said, out of this deadlocked situation, that the faithful Lord forgives all of the past, and that we can forget it, that we can make a new beginning by God's grace. But you can place yourself into my situation. I go with every word. I tune in with every word. It's not only addressed to you. It's always also addressed to me. But when God speaks directly to one of His servants in His word and says, I have against thee, thou neglected to make an end to the thing. You didn't take it serious. And then, the same way, to the next messenger, in the next church age, I have against thee. For a messenger of God, it's always easier to preach to the church what they are not doing correctly. But when the word so directly is addressed to me, at that time, to the messengers of God, then of course you can imagine what goes on within me. I dedicated my life to the Lord, and I told Him that I will be faithful to my calling until the end, until I come from believing unto seeing. But these are failures which go back to the years 76 to 79, which I can never make well. But God can make it well. And the moment has come. I bend my knees before God. I bend my knees before the church. And I ask the Lord God that He gives us anointed eyes, humble hearts, to place everything correctly. Sometimes God allows things so that they cannot repeat in the last phase, when God will do His great work in and among His church. I'm not God's secret counselor. I just know that the Lord God does not come too late, and that everything must go around Him, and that He, at the right moment, He will take care for everything. We are available to the Lord, and we believe that He will make all things well. Now, just briefly, a few thoughts from Corinthians, and also from the epistle to Timothy. We all know Paul, already at that time, he had to deal with brothers who presented other doctrines. Here, in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 1, we read in verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. In verse 17, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. I read this verse on purpose, to show you that this verse of a whole denomination which came into existence around the time of John Wesley, this denomination refers to this word of Paul: I am not sent to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And the whole denomination rejects every kind of baptism, every kind of baptism, because of a misunderstanding of a statement of Paul. Paul, of course, didn't deal with the subject baptism. It was just about that he makes clear wherein his main task is. Baptizing could others. Philip could baptize. Others could baptize. Paul had the task, the duty, to preach the everlasting gospel, to present the doctrines, the church order. He had the task to tell the church everything what God commanded him, but not to go from city to city to baptize. For these brothers were here. But such a verse is misused to justify that baptism is not needed at all. And this is the trouble. And with this I want to emphasize once again how dangerous it is to take just one scripture and to refer to it and to make out of it what fits into the people's concept. Please never do this. Never do it. Never take one scripture. But if it is about baptism, then go to Mark 16. Go. Yes. Matthew 28. Then go to Acts 2, chapter 8, chapter 10. Go to all the scriptures to have an overall picture what is meant by baptism, to then know that it is necessary, that it is biblical, and that all who receive God's word, that they must be baptized. Just think of one moment. A whole denomination bypasses all the other scriptures which speak of baptism. And they say, Paul said. One other problem was that some claimed there's no resurrection. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 12. Just a claim, there is no resurrection. What did these people have to say? They had nothing to say, actually. They were just babbling, vain words. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So, among you, not somewhere outside, among you, he writes to the church. How come some of you and say there is no resurrection? And then, the next claimed, and this email I answered, there is a whole denomination where the living are baptized for the dead. And they refer to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 29. Here it says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 29. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? This was a diagnosis. Here Paul was challenging. What kind of sense does it have? It's of course not a recommendation, but it's a misunderstanding. I was answering this email. I answered it very short and brief, but thoroughly I answered. They are taking this scripture, a whole denomination, and they are baptized for the dead. Because here a remark was written here, that at that time there was something in existence like that. They don't care about all the other scriptures, but they stand on one misunderstood scripture. If we hear, brothers and sisters, if we sometimes at this place have to teach and touch doctrinal things, then of course not only for us here, but because of the worldwide problems, to show that there is a need to clarify things. There's no other way. The things which are not scriptural, we cannot just tolerate these things. Also in the days of the apostles, that's how we can read it in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 2, der Paul also had to deal with things which was claimed at that time, namely that the resurrection of the dead has taken place already. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, here we read verse 17 and 18. And their word will eat as does a cancer. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. If this only would have happened at that time, then I probably didn't have to read this scripture. But because it happened to me in Virginia, in the USA, it happened to me that a brother, who even heard Brother Branham one time personally, he heard him, he claimed the resurrection is past already. And when I asked him, tell me how, then he said, the graves were the dead denominations, and we came out of these graves, and we are the resurrection. And I cannot even say more here. I just at the right moment I said, please bring me back to the airport. Bring me back to the airport. There are really spirits which went forth to cause confusion and to bring forth unbiblical doctrines. And therefore, both is our task. The preaching of the true word of God, the true teaching, but that what is not biblical, we cannot just tolerate. And to not being accused of, that I have something against thee, and I have to accuse you that you tolerated such things in your midst. In the church of the living God, in the called out church, there may be nothing anymore what is not in agreement with God's word and God's will. And it must be said, as in the book of Acts, chapter 15, and with this agree all the words of the prophets. It just must be correct. God is true. His word is true. And the Holy Spirit leads into all truth. Here? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we have once again a description which hurts us. And here it's people like Jannes and Jambres who rebel against the truth. People of corrupt minds. That's how it is written in verse 7 and 8 in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But before, and this we looked at already, before that, Paul in the last verse in 2 Timothy 2, he wrote that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him to do his will. And then he lines out who these people are, what they are teaching, and by what they are taken by the enemy into snares. And therefore, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, 2 Timothy 3, verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, and so forth. This also we want to do. The example we have in the Holy Scripture, and we want to follow this example. Then we have it here in 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This remains like this until the end. And then the admonition to the servant of God. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Has the word of God become a certainty for you? Are you resting in the word of God? Are you resting in the will of God? Did you just listen or watch? Or has it happened with you? Brothers and sisters, the time is serious. Because all who do not believe the word in the original and who hold fast to it, to them the enemy will pass on his interpretations in this way or that way. As I mentioned it yesterday, also with 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10 and 11, that one just twists the things and turns the things to make them fit for oneself. That's not right like this. We must stand the word to test. The word is the last authority. The word is the absolute which God gave us. Now, we read this verse of the foundation. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Despite of all the deception, of all the wrong doctrines, despite what they are doing, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth. The foundation laid by God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And his own are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Up to 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, of the church. Namely, here, it said of the church in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. The church is the pillar it carries, and it's the foundation of the truth. Our Lord says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Brothers and sisters, many scriptures could be read and could be included into our observation. Let us summarize it. God has given us the grace. Once again, the example. John 15. I am the vine, ye are the branches. We came forth from him. Just as in the natural, all sons and daughters are coming forth from the Father, so we are born of God, born again unto a living hope. We have the divine life, the divine nature we have by His grace in us, born again unto a living hope by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ of the dead. Then, for us, is valid what God's word says unto us. And I believe the time has come where we have to close the door for all what is not in agreement with God and His word. As Paul wrote, if somebody comes along, 2 Corinthians 11, if somebody comes along and preaches unto you another Jesus, then he might well bear with him. No, we do not bear with him. No, and again, no. This we do not accept. Here, Jesus Christ as Lord, as Redeemer, as Lamb of God, as the first and the last is being preached, who is and who was and who is to come. Here is only room and space for God, for God's word, and the church of the Lord has a right to it, to hear God's holy word crystal clear in the original. All the others, may they go on their ways. This place is God consecrated. We are waiting for that the Lord will confirm His word. We did not preach any interpretation. We preached the word. How many can believe that God will also fulfill His last promises? He will fulfill them. That everything what God said is yes and amen. And that our faith is anchored in the promises of the word of God. No doctrine is permitted here, and it is not tolerated unless it is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the apostles. Only, and again, only sola scriptura, only the Holy Scripture. Blessed and praised be the Lord. You know my statement. He who is right in his heart understandeth all things rightly. I'm just referring now to the statement last night when Brother Branham asked, do you believe that I'm standing here by the commission of God? Just be honest now. True faith can of course only be there where one knows out of inner conviction, here God's word is being fulfilled. Here God is present. He has no religious business, not a nice framework, no charismatic is presented here. Here the Lord builds His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't have to give my testimony here again. It's well known to all of you. I, Brother Frank, have heard the direct, all-penetrating voice of the Lord on the 2nd of April, 1962. I'm not saying I'm something special. I just claim to have received a direct commission from the Lord Himself to go from city to city to preach His word. And therefore, I can't stand any interpretation. I despise them. I can't stand them. Doesn't matter who brings them, from whom they are coming. Because the church of the Lord will be a word bride, which came forth from the seed of the word. May the Lord God bless us. May be with us. May He lift up His countenance over upon us, and may give us His peace, His blessing, and may He manifest His power and glory, and may He give all, without exception, revelation by His Holy Spirit, also to all those who are newly added, that we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And His word may not return void, but may it accomplish unto the ends of the earth for what it was sent for. If it is the message which foreruns the second coming of Christ, then the calling out and the preparation of the church, of the bride church, takes place now. To our God be the thanks that we may have part in it. His name be highly praised. All who want to be baptized right after this service, a baptism will take place. And we all assume that you all you who want to be baptized, that you believe now, that you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you experienced the forgiveness of your sins, that you found peace with God, and by this are making a covenant of a good conscience by baptism, to be buried with Him into His death, and then to rise again with Him unto a new life. The Lord God, may He bless us all and be with us. Amen. We stand up and we sing only the chorus, "Just as I am." And then we will pray together and we will close the first part of this service.
Dein Blut wäscht mich von Sünden rein, o Gottes Lamm, ich komm, ich komm. Wir wollen unsere Hände erheben.
We want to lift up our hands if there is a prayer request, and we want to pray. Our brother from Hamburg, I want to say, if he again has the desire that for him is being prayed for, he can remain behind. We will again pray for him. We will anoint him with oil as brothers, as God's word says it. But all those, please, not coming to the friend, to the front, those who have a request, raise your hand. Yes, all over. Everywhere are prayer requests. Faithful Lord and God, we are looking up to the throne of grace. Precious Lord, I'm bending my knees before you and the whole church, that I didn't take heed to what was going on. Dear Lord, I pray that you make all things well again, that you make all the damage well. I pray that you make all the damage well And all who stepped into the snare of the enemy in this or that way, may they experience their deliverance by your grace. Great God, I thank thee that you have spoken to me, that you have spoken to all of us, and we all are humbling ourselves under your mighty hand, and we pray you have thine own way with all of us worldwide, and bless your people in all peoples, in all nations, and complete thou thy work. I thank thee that we can have part in it, what you are doing right now. You will not be angry forever. You will be merciful. Let today thy mercy be manifested. Be merciful to all of us. Glorify thy name. Confirm thy word. Blessed and praised be thou, O Lord, now and forever.
Hallelujah. 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 Und alles Volk sage Amen. 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 Ihr mögt euch setzen.
You may be seated.
Jetzt bitten wir,
now we ask that the singers are coming to the front, and we also ask that all the transmission is switched off now. Thank you.